Hi everyone, welcome to ADHD Brief. I'm Kaylee Smith, a registered psychotherapist in Ontario and your host. This isn't your typical therapy podcast. Here, I ditch the clipboard and sit down with friends, family, and people with lived experience to have informal, unfiltered conversations about ADHD, mental health, and what it's actually like to live with a neurodivergent brain. As a therapist, I love having these conversations, but this podcast isn't therapy and it isn't intended to provide personal clinical advice. It's real talk, personal stories, and don't worry, we still try to keep it funny. Whether you've been diagnosed, you're exploring your brain, or you're just ADHD curious, welcome. Brains don't always play by the rules. Let's talk about it.
Ding dong.
Ding dong. Okay, so today I have Trish on my podcast. So Trish is my wonderful assistant. Mm-hmm. She is sort of the brains behind the operation. She's the one that puts together a lot of the things that I have problems putting together. Yeah. Not only is she a wealth of knowledge, but she's also a huge, huge support for me. And she agreed to come on the podcast to talk about PMDD and ADHD, mm-hmm. which I think is such an important topic to have a conversation about, because I think that PMDD is not talked about enough. And I think that, I mean, I see it with a lot of my clients, and you have been the go-to person to like offer some support, offer some guidance.
Yeah.
Even like helping me increase my knowledge. So thank you.
Of course.
So we're really excited to have you.
Thanks.
So let's talk a little bit about PMDD first. So why don't you tell us, what is PMDD?
Okay. So premenstrual dysphoric disorder. Yep. It's a hard one mm-hmm. to say. That's why we call it PMDD. Is basically an endocrine disorder. So it's neurological, it's in the brain. And basically us PMDDers, we have normal hormonal fluctuations, but our brain just doesn't react kindly to them. Mm-hmm. So a big misconception is that we have all these wacky hormones, that have like the crazy fluctuations, but it's not. They're normal hormones and normal changes as every menstruator goes through their cycle, but our brains just don't react well to it. Mm-hmm. So it causes a whole avalanche of symptoms throughout the phase. And
yeah. What are the phases of menstrual cycle?
So you have, you start at menstruation, which is typically whatever. You know, everybody's different.
Yeah.
And then you go into follicular, which is the good one.
So we want to be in the follicular
phase. You always want to be in follicular. Okay. Yeah.
Got it.
And then you go into ovulation and then luteal.
Okay.
So
luteal is where things take a turn.
Luteal is bad.
Okay.
Follicular good.
Okay. Okay. That's helpful.
Yeah.
Okay. I even found it interesting this morning. I was looking up, because I like to come into these and kind of understand some statistics around PMDD. And there was a lot of like statistics that didn't match up. So at first I looked up a few things that said somewhere between 3-8% of menstruators have PMDD. But then there was a recent study last year that said only 1.6% of menstruators have PMDD.
So that's the problem with women's health, right? Yeah. Is it's not well researched. And the numbers are changing now because more people are realizing it exists. Uh-huh. So the number I go off of, it's high. It's like 40-something% of menstruators experience some form of PME, which is premenstrual exacerbation, or like extreme PMS or a PMDD.
Okay.
Yeah.
I mean, I'd say that statistic sounds a bit more accurate.
Yeah.
Because you're absolutely right. Like,
Women's
health is not well researched, well understood, well advocated for. And I mean, just given the amount of clients that have come to me and talked about all of the things that they see within their different phases, as well as how that intersects with their ADHD,
their
medication, I'm like, there's no way this is 3-8%. Like, that's very low.
Too little.
Yeah.
Okay. It could just, yeah, it could be that like people don't know that they have it either.
Yeah.
Because I didn't know.
Yeah.
So
I would agree with that.
Yeah.
So before we get into how you found out that you have PMDD, so tell me a bit about how PMDD differs from ADHD, because you've got both.
Mm-hmm.
So what do you kind of notice are like the differences?
Yeah. So the difference is like when I'm in luteal, the bad luteal one, my ADHD does get worse, but PMDD doesn't typically affect like executive functioning skills like ADHD does. It's more like emotion, like emotional regulation. Like I go on like the, it can go like sad, anxious, mad, and I stay on like the mad, like ragey side when I'm in PMDD. And then of course that makes my irritability worse, which is ADHD as well.
Yeah.
So yeah, I would say the main difference is that PMDD is more like emotional challenges.
Okay.
Where ADHD is like
more the executive functioning challenges.
Yeah.
I mean, I can imagine too that when you do have both, because emotional control or emotion regulation is also something that's impaired with ADHD. Yeah. So that must feel like it's getting exacerbated.
Yeah, it does get worse. Yeah.
Okay. Mm-hmm. How long does that typically last for you?
So for me, I got the short end of the stick. Everybody with PMDD is different. Mm-hmm. I guess that's partly why some people don't know that they have it. But my symptoms start right when I start ovulating all the way until my menstrual cycle. Mm. So I have about 14 days of symptoms.
Wow.
Where some people, it's after ovulation, their symptoms start, or 2 to 3 days before their period. Like there's a big range, but I got the long one.
Okay, 14 days.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, so that I say, like, I have one good week a month where I'm, like, normal Trish, and then, but I still have ADHD, so it's, like, I never have really any good, like, where I'm, like, top-tier Trish.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
I mean, I think you're always top-tier Trish. Well, but
I do my best.
Okay, so 14 days.
Yeah.
That must feel like a lot.
It's horrible, really.
Yeah.
It's like the worst thing. Yeah, it's really, really hard. Like, and people don't really understand. And yeah, like I've always been like very highly sensitive.
Mm-hmm.
And that just like gets like worse as it goes. So like half of my month, I'm like, I just, I need so much, especially from my partner.
Mm-hmm.
Like, don't touch me. Love me. Don't touch me. Love me. Mm-hmm. Like, and I'm it makes me very needy, I guess.
Okay.
Not in a bad way. Just like, I need help sometimes.
Okay.
I guess.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, I don't even think I realized until this very conversation that it was 14 days for you, because I know that, I mean, you were really honest about this when you first started working for me and said there's going to be certain days that I can't work, and there's kind of like just like a text, today's not the day, or I'm going to get to this on Monday or whatever, which has been, you know, completely fine for me.
But yeah, I'm glad you've been so understanding about it too.
Yeah. I mean,
it's nice to work for therapists.
Yeah, but I really only noticed that, like, I think probably, like, I thought it was maybe, like, 3 or 4 days.
Mm-hmm. Well, interestingly, that's another thing about PMDD is sometimes I have completely symptom-free cycles. But then sometimes it's the full 14 days. And then sometimes it's, like, I'm good for, like, 3 days. And then the next day I'm like, I want to die.
Mm.
And then, so yeah, it's the symptomology can change like day to day, month to month, year to year.
Mm-hmm.
Like, it's, you never know what's coming.
Okay.
So you just kind of like go with it. And that's why it's so important to like know myself and know how I'm feeling and be able to identify like, am I doing good today or am I not doing good today? Like, what do I need?
Okay.
Yeah.
I can imagine too that would be potentially hard if it's you have to track things.
Yeah.
Because when you've got ADHD too,
yeah,
remembering to track things or write things down or notice patterns is going to be hard. And then even like when, you know, when you've got ADHD, your sense of interoception is impacted. So what's happening in my body?
Yeah.
What do I feel? What are my my hunger signals?
Yeah.
Like all of that stuff.
Pee for 18 hours and then realize. Yes.
And then whoops, I haven't drank water in a couple days.
Yeah.
Yeah. So do you find that that's a challenge for you when you're trying to like really tap in? And
yeah, I think I do track my cycles.
You do, okay.
For sure. But I feel like it's so ingrained in me now that like I don't have my watch on, but I don't know what day of the month it is even really, but I know that I get my period around the end of the month.
Okay.
So when it's like the middle of the month, that's when I know, like, it's just like ingrained in my brain, like,
yeah.
When it gets to the middle of the month, then I need to start like paying more attention.
Okay. Got it.
Mm-hmm.
All right. So I guess tell me a little bit about your journey of diagnosis. So that could be diagnosis with PMDD or ADHD, what that was like.
Yeah. Okay. So
start from the beginning.
Yeah. So when I was 4 years old, no, I'm kidding. So I grew up in a very, with me and my father. I have a sister, but she lived with my, my mom. So we were separated and I lived with my father, and he's a very strict, hard, old fashioned Italian man. So I grew up in an abusive household. So I remember first feeling like depression and stuff when I was like 11. Like I got my period really early.
I was
in grade 3 when I got my period, so super early.
Okay.
How
old are you in grade 3? Like
5, 6, 7, 8.
Okay.
Yeah. So I never really thought about that, but maybe there's a link there.
Yeah.
Anyway. So I just, my whole like teen years, I was like super depressed.
Mm-hmm.
And like dropped out of high school. And so then I went to Homewood, Homewood Health Center. I was in treatment there.
And you were a teenager?
I was 17.
17.
When I went to Homewood.
Okay.
Before that, my doctor had put me on like antidepressants when I was like 12.
Okay.
Or some shit.
Yeah.
Some stuff.
You can say shit.
Okay.
Yeah.
Shit.
Yeah, yeah.
Some shit. And where am I going with this?
Okay. You were on antidepressants.
I was on antidepressants and whatever. Like, it wasn't working. I mean, I was a rebellious teenager. Mm-hmm. Lots of drinking, lots of drugs, which obviously didn't help. Mm-hmm. And then, so finally, my sister actually advocated for me to go to Homewood. I didn't want to go. It was involuntary. Mm-hmm. It was very traumatic.
Mm-hmm.
And anyway, so I was there.
I'm gonna have another friend on this podcast at some point to talk about the involuntary hospitalizations.
Oh, awesome. And I would love to see the similarities.
Yeah,
it's, oh my god, so horrible.
Yeah.
And I'm not like shitting on like treatment centers, and I know it's probably different these days with, you know, more like research and advocacy for like compassionate care and stuff, but like it wasn't like I wasn't allowed to go outside. Like, and I was a smoker. I smoked cigarettes and they wouldn't let me go outside for a smoke.
Wow.
And like my family left me and whatever. That sucked.
Yeah.
So anyways, that led to my,
and this was, and you hadn't been diagnosed with ADHD at this point.
No.
Either, because what I'm hearing is all of the like rebellious behavior, the smoking, the drinking, the drugs is like all the red flags for undiagnosed ADHD.
Definitely,
too.
Definitely. Yeah. And relationships and men too.
Yeah.
And so anyway, so I got this place. I swear to God, I was taking 9 pills.
Ooh.
Every morning. They make you go up to like this nurse's station and you have to like take the pill and show them that you took all your pills. And so I got like a whack load of different diagnoses. Like they said, like major depressive, bipolar, like they had me on lithium.
Yeah.
And then they had me on like antipsychotics and stuff. And but I also got my ADHD diagnosis there.
Okay.
So that was basically the only good thing that came out of that experience. And then
I mean, I even hear that so often with people. I would say more women that come to me and say, I've been diagnosed with BPD or I've been diagnosed with bipolar disorder. Yeah. I don't think I have, or just even major depressive disorder. Mm-hmm. I don't think I have these things, but I think I have ADHD. And immediately, as soon as I'm on the phone with them, I'm like, you probably do.
Yeah, definitely.
You probably do. Yeah. And I love that you're still advocating for yourself for that because there's a lot of misdiagnoses.
Oh, yeah. Huge. Yeah. And so, yeah, so that's where I got that diagnosis.
Okay. No PMDD at this point.
I don't even think people knew what it was, because that was like 10 years ago.
Okay.
Or 11 years ago, whatever. I don't know how old I am.
Okay. Give or take a decade.
Yeah. And actually, I thought, just because we're talking about it, I thought it would be funny. They, when you like graduate from the program there, and I hope to the higher power that they don't do this anymore, but they do like kind of like a graduation like ceremony thing, and they gave us these
you sent me a photo of this stamp once, and I was horrified.
They stamped sane on my hand.
Sane. And like in big block red letters.
Block letters, yeah. So crazy.
That is, I know that this stuff is real and it happens. Mm-hmm. It just seems so crazy to think that was 10 years ago. Like, I would expect that to have happened 30 years ago.
Yeah, I mean,
10 years ago, and you're a child.
Yeah. I'm sure it was supposed to be, like, good-natured fun.
Yeah.
That's the way I took it then, but looking back now, I'm like, my poor, like, 17, 18-year-old self, like, what? It's like, that's so, like, mean to do. Yeah. Anyways, so that's how I got my ADHD diagnosis. Okay.
And so when you got your ADHD diagnosis, how did that feel? Like, did you understand ADHD?
No.
Did they explain it?
I didn't.
Okay.
I didn't understand really anything about mental health until after I got out of Homewood, because like I was just like living my life and like working, and like I still like wasn't feeling like a normal human being. Like I was like a zombie, because they discharged me with all of those prescriptions. And so I was still taking them. And this is why I'm so like such an advocate for mental health now. It's so important to me, because I had to figure out on my own. Mm-hmm. I had to do research about the medications that I was taking. And then when they weren't working, go to my doctor, say, hey, I want to try this medication instead of this. And at this dosage, like, and then,
which is so hard to do.
Yeah.
Especially
so hard
when
to
you're
do.
Young.
Yeah.
And a woman.
Yeah.
Like, yeah.
Yeah. And obviously like family physicians don't know enough. Mm-hmm. They just don't know enough about mental health and like the different combinations of things that people should be on and what's trying. And, oh, if this isn't working, let's just wrap up your dose. Like, that's, you know.
Yeah.
And so I figured it all out on my own, finally got on like a cocktail that was working for me, which was at that time Wellbutrin, which is nice, because that has like a little bit of
yeah, it's dopaminergic.
Yeah. And then the first ADHD meds I was taking was Concerta.
Okay.
Which was like pretty insane. And I took that for years because I was just more focused on, like, the depression side of things, like not wanting to literally kill myself all the time. And so getting that worked out. And then finally I...
Do you think the ADHD meds helped at all with that?
I think so.
Okay.
Yeah. But then again, ultimately, I don't have major depressive disorder. Right. I have PMDD.
Right.
Like, and it was so confusing for me, because sometimes I was fine.
Yeah.
Like, I was absolutely fine. And then I wanted to die.
Yeah.
Like, so Yeah. And the SSRIs and any sort of mood stabilizer helps, like that is like a very effective treatment for PMDD.
Okay.
So yeah.
And is that something, because it's not major depressive disorder and it does come with that fluctuation, mm-hmm. you still take SSRIs yeah. or antidepressants
yeah.
all the time?
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah. And that's like recommended treatment for okay. anybody with PMD, just so that it's like less of a roller coaster, yeah. you know, it's more,
mm-hmm. just a tiny. Well, yeah, which makes sense because with, you know, standard antidepressants, they're not like ADHD meds where
yeah.
you could take them one day, not take them the next day.
Yeah.
And that is still safe to do. Mm-hmm. You have to keep that in your bloodstream and, yes. and build that up.
Yeah.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. What was I talking about? Concerta.
Yeah. Yeah. Why was that insane?
Just, I think they had me on like a really high dose of it.
Okay.
And that one, it was an extended release. So like all day I'd get these bursts and I'd be so anxious at nighttime. Mm. And then I'd take Ativan. Mm. And yeah, so.
Just to offset that.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And then I tried, and then when I went to college and university, I started experimenting with the ADHD meds finally, and so I tried Ritalin because the Concerta was too much. I was anxious at night.
Yeah.
I tried Ritalin, which was good, but then my tolerance built for that so fast, and then I was taking too much of it. And then finally, I tried Vyvanse and. That's the goat.
Yeah. That was pretty recently that you started Vyvanse.
Yeah.
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 It is so interesting how your brain responds to the different classes of medication.
Mm-hmm.
And I think a lot of people, I mean, whether it's the amphetamine class or the methylphenidate class, once they've tried one and they just end up staying with it, they don't realize that the other that class could be so much different or better.
Yeah.
Very common.
Mm-hmm. Because what's the, Ritalin methylphenidate and then
So Vyvanse Ritalin and Concerta are the methylphenidate and then, Vyvanse is amphetamine.
Yeah. Interesting. Yeah, because I was just popping Ritalin.
Really?
Like all day.
And they were short or long?
Short.
Short acting.
And that's why, because I was told, my doctor, I need 17 refills of these things because I'm taking three in the morning and three in the afternoon and then... Yeah, because they're just short bursts, which were fine, but then I'd get the worst headaches, and then I'd have to take more, and then Vyvanse is what I find work well for
okay.
me.
Okay, yeah. And I swear, anyone listening to this podcast, we are not sponsored by Vyvanse.
No,
but I talk about Vyvanse in every episode.
Well, you should,
but just as a disclaimer for everybody.
Yeah. Imagine you were sponsored by
I mean, my prescription is very expensive. So if anyone wants to sponsor me, I am absolutely open to that.
Yeah. People know that? Without insurance, my Vyvanse is $384.
Yeah. It's wild.
Yeah.
It is really wild. And even the generic versions, because there's the generic Vyvanse has just come out last year. And it's still not much cheaper.
No, it's $40 difference or something. From what I can remember. Yeah. Remember when I told you about that?
Yeah.
I went to the pharmacy to pick up my Vyvanse and I don't know. I didn't even know why, but the pharmacist was like, do you want to try the generic brand? It's better for cost. And I'm like, well, can you effectively say that this is gonna be good and it's gonna do the same thing,
mm-hmm.
and they're like, no, I can't. I'm like, okay, well, I'll try it because I'm a student and I'm just so broke, and it did nothing. So crazy.
I've heard that from more people, that it doesn't work as well than people who say that they don't notice a difference.
Mm-hmm.
And a lot of people got switched to the generic without realizing it.
Yeah.
And so I had a real increase in clients around around winter this year saying, it just feels like my meds aren't working anymore. I don't know what's going on. My meds aren't working. And I'm like,
Are you
on the generic?
Oh, good.
And
yeah.
then they check and they were on the generic.
Oh,
and
God.
I'm like, okay, well, we just need to go back to the brand name. And
yeah.
that alone was,
it's huge
for the majority of them, the fix.
Yeah. So weird.
So that's information for mm-hmm. anybody listening.
Yeah.
Check if you've been switched to the generic
yeah.
because that could be a reason why meds aren't working as well.
Mm-hmm.
So that's your journey with ADHD. How did you get diagnosed with PMDD finally? And how old were you?
Yeah, so I was, oh God, I can't even remember. I think I was 20, how old am I now? 28. I think I was probably like 23 or 24.
Wow.
Yeah. So, and I didn't even like go in for like thinking like I have PMDD. Like I didn't know what it was mm-hmm. until. So I went to my doctor's appointment. I don't even know what I was there for. And there was a nurse practitioner there, a woman.
Wow. Mm.
And, and we were talking and we were just like going, you know how you go and they check all your information, like your medications and stuff, are you still taking this, blah blah blah. And I'm like, and then I kind of just like mentioned like sometimes I feel like fine
mm-hmm.
and sometimes I feel so not fine. And she basically just said like, have you ever heard of this, like have you ever heard of PMDD? And I'm like, no, like what is that? And she kind of told me a little bit about it and like the symptomology and the phases and stuff. And I was like, holy shit, I have that.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Okay. So it was like that light bulb moment
yeah.
of like, oh, finally someone's given me a label for something
yeah.
that I've been experiencing since I was like 8.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, it was insane.
It's a long time.
Yeah.
And to go undiagnosed.
Yeah, I know. And it wasn't even really like a formal diagnosis. Nobody like put like a stamp on any paper and
yeah.
said you have PMDD, because I don't even think people do that.
Mm-hmm.
I don't, is it, can you?
You can, but
yeah.
I think it's pretty, I would say rare, which again,
yeah.
I'm assuming is why.
Is it in the DSM?
It is, yeah.
Oh, good.
But the criteria for it, I think, is pretty strict.
Yeah.
Which is why the latest study is saying that only like 1.6% of menstruators are diagnosed, because that criteria is
yeah.
so strict. So
yeah.
I wonder if that's going to change at all.
Yeah.
At some
Hopefully.
Point.
Yeah.
But I think now it is more kind of that informal
mm-hmm.
diagnosis of like,
yeah,
you probably have this thing.
Yeah. And a lot of PMDDers like you know, if you have the information, and like you've researched it, and if your symptoms match, like, you know,
mm-hmm.
like I know I have PMDD
yeah.
now that I know so much about it. And yeah, so once she said that, yeah, like you said, it was like a huge light bulb moment.
Mm.
I was like, thank God.
Mm-hmm.
And then like,
shout out to that nurse practitioner.
Yeah,
if she's out, listening, we love
out,
you.
I forget your name, but shout out you. Yeah, so yeah, and then we kind of like played around with my medications a bit, and then yeah, I started therapy for it.
Okay.
And yeah.
Okay. Because I definitely want to hear more about that. That
mm-hmm.
is where I think you've been a wealth of knowledge for myself. And you've given me a lot of resources that I've been able to pass on to clients
mm-hmm.
because I didn't know enough about it.
Yeah.
Definitely. And I think I'm always learning more based on what you share. But did you specifically like seek therapy for this?
Yeah.
Okay.
So my sister, who is also a psychotherapist,
yeah.
thank God,
yeah.
she forwarded me this like PMDD group
okay.
thing, and I went to it, and it was so amazing. Like, it's Nadine Evans is my therapist, and she runs these monthly PMDD groups, and just like, they're free, like anybody.
Wow. Oh,
yeah,
they're free.
Yeah,
too.
They're free.
Wow.
Anybody can join, and she basically runs these sessions and teaches like DBT skills and information about PMDD and stuff. And I was like, I want you. So I just emailed her. I said, hey, are you taking on any new clients? And she said, yes. And then the rest is history.
Okay. Yeah. Go Nadine.
Yeah. I love. Yeah. She's like the reason I know so much that I can advocate so well for myself. Wow. And everything. Like, yeah, she's amazing.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. I mean, even to run free monthly groups, yeah, is,
you know,
huge,
what? Because she has PMDD.
Yeah.
So she, and like, she wasn't a, her story is like amazing. Like, she was in like marketing before, and then like she got this diagnosis, and then she like changed her whole career, and now she's a psychotherapist who specializes in it. Wow. And yeah, she's very inspiring.
Yeah. I mean, I think, and it's also just really empowering for people to go, okay, this is someone who's also struggled in a similar way that I have.
Yeah.
And look what they've been able to do with it.
Yeah.
And how much that can be validating.
Yeah. And yeah, for sure. And knowing that she knows what I go through, because she goes through it too, it makes like the therapy process like so much easier. Like, I can just like say anything to her and she's like, yeah, like I get it. Oh, so it's like, yeah, huge. It's really nice to have relatable therapist.
Yeah, that's so huge. I think, I mean, even for myself, just being an ADHDer with ADHD clients is, I think, has been huge. A game changer, where they can immediately come in and go, I'm not going to feel ashamed to talk about my ADHD or how my brain works. And I know that the other person that's in this room with me understands it. Yeah. So I can imagine that having a therapist with PMDD is going to be very helpful.
Yeah, it's really good.
Okay. So when, okay, so what are my next questions here? So, I mean, I was going to ask, have your symptoms been dismissed before? But I think we sort of already answered that. Sounds like a lot of them were dismissed.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
How do you advocate for yourself when you feel like your symptoms are misunderstood?
Oh, man. I'm still figuring that out.
Okay.
Basically, well, I guess there's so many different facets to life and where I do need to advocate for myself, but I think starting from like the outside of my world, I make sure that the people who I spend my time with and my friends, like, they know this about me, and I only keep people who love and care for me.
Okay.
Like, all of my friends, like, I trust with my life, and I love them so much, and they all know this about me. And
I'm assuming your partner does
and
as
my,
well.
And my partner, yes. And so I think it's telling them about it and like, hey, sometimes I experience this and this, and that is advocating for myself in a way, because like don't get mad at me if I don't like text you back, like I'm in my bed dying. Like, so things like that. And then with family, they don't really, like, my sister gets it, obviously. But my parents are boomers. They're not like, like, mental health doesn't really like exist to them. So I just kind of just mask when I'm with them.
Yeah.
And that is, in a way, advocating for myself, because if I like told my mom, hey mom, I want to die every single month, then it would be like a shit show,
right?
You know, so I just don't.
That's how you just like have that self-preservation on, there are certain people that I trust to share this with, and other people where I just have to accept that that's not the people I go to.
They wouldn't get it.
Okay.
And then work, of course, thankfully I work for therapists who understand, and I'm very open about it, because because I need to be. Sometimes I can't do anything.
Yeah.
So, yeah.
Have you had difficulties with employment, like employers not getting it?
When I was, when I was younger, just working like jobs when you work when you're a teenager, and I didn't even know I had PMDD, Yeah, like I would get, like I would call in, and I don't even know why I would call in. I would just like this feeling of like dread, like going to work. And obviously now I know it's PMDD, and I just like needed a break. And I would, yeah, I would get in trouble for calling in often. And what was your question?
Have you had difficulty with employers like being able to be lenient, be understanding?
Yeah. No, because as an ADHDer as well, I can mask well.
Yeah.
So like in person, I can mask well, and like being a virtual assistant has like saved me, because even if like I can't work one day, I can work the next day and still get things done. Yeah. So yeah, no, not really.
Okay. Because you work for a few different therapists and you find that all of them have been understanding.
Yeah.
Good. Mm-hmm. Oh, I love that.
Yeah. I get my work done though.
Yeah, you do get your work done. You do get your work done.
So I think I have like a solid base or like foundation where like you guys trust me.
Yeah.
And if I don't get something done on time, it's going to get done eventually.
Mm-hmm. And I think too that like one of the things that I'm constantly kind of trying to get clients to be able to practice is self-compassion for themselves and setting boundaries for themselves. And they're really hard things
that's
to
hard.
Do.
Yeah.
But part of that is modeling to them that it's okay to have, you know, boundaries or self-compassion.
Yeah, definitely.
Or be compassionate to people. So I think it's a big thing in mental health care to go, okay, well, if I am, you know, if I've got ADHD and my clients have ADHD, and I have to treat myself a certain way to model that it's okay for them to treat themselves a certain way. And so I would say that that goes for the people that work for me as well.
Yeah, definitely.
That I have to be understanding of ADHD symptoms or PMDD symptoms or what that's going to look like, because otherwise it just doesn't work.
Mm-hmm. For sure. Yeah. Everybody should be so much more understanding.
So much more understanding.
Yeah.
So I can imagine, like, it must feel like a lot of pressure when you do have to mask or pretend that what's happening.
It's exhausting.
Yeah.
Yeah. And you know that, like, I'm sure you mask all the time.
Yeah.
Like
a lot.
Yeah. It's just like a thing that we, and especially as women, get really good at doing.
You do get really good at doing it, which is kind of sad.
Very sad.
Maybe we should do an episode about masking at some point.
Yeah.
That'd I'm be sure good. We will.
Yeah.
There's always things to talk about around this. So how do you prepare for your luteal phase?
Yeah, so I wish.
Or your ovulatory phase?
Yeah, I basically call my when I'm ovulating and luteal, all luteal.
Okay.
I just call that.
Okay.
Because that's what it feels like for me.
Yeah.
So what you can do is, Nadine taught me this, something that's called coping ahead. So like making sure I get like the bulk of my work done when I'm in follicular, making sure I'm not like too social during luteal, so getting like in my social time or family time, especially when I'm in follicular. Basically just making sure I have leniency and time to take care of myself during luteal if I need it. Do I do that? No.
Okay.
Because, well, sometimes I just can't. Like, I have a lot of clients. I have a lot of work. I'm in school. I'm in placement. And things need to get done. And sometimes I just gotta bite the bullet and get it done. Mm-hmm. So
I was just gonna say that must be hard to try to adjust to, because when you're going, I have to prepare for potentially 14 days of not feeling like myself.
Mm-hmm.
That puts a lot of pressure on the 14 days prior.
Yeah. Yeah. It's like impossible.
Yeah.
Really. But yeah, that's like when I'm feeling good and I recognize that I'm feeling good and I'm working, then like I will keep working as and just tell myself, like, just, like, get this done now so that, you don't have to do it later. But I think I do that all the time anyways. Mm-hmm. It's not just about, it's not about PMDD. It's about hyperfocus. Mm-hmm. So, yeah. Okay. Yeah.
Do you think your family notices that you only try to see them at the beginning of the month?
No.
Okay. No. Yeah. It's too bad they haven't put that connection together. Yeah. If you're trying to, you know, do that before things get worse.
Yeah.
It makes sense, though. It's a good idea.
Yeah. Yeah.
To take that pressure off.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. It's a good method.
Yeah. Yeah. Okay, so that's some of the ways that you prepare.
Yeah.
Anything else that's helpful?
I basically just, like, hermit.
Okay.
That's really the only thing that makes me feel better.
Okay.
I mean, that I do, at least. Like, if I, like, exercised more often, I know that that would be, like, extremely beneficial for me. But I don't know why I don't. It's, like, there's, like, a block. I don't know.
I think that goes into my next question too. Are there like lifestyle things that are helpful or tools?
Yeah,
or,
definitely.
Or switches. So yeah. You're saying exercise.
Exercise would be super beneficial.
Okay.
Just like eating. I eat pretty healthy. But like, yeah, eating balanced meals, 3 meals a day, mm-hmm. which I don't do. Mm-hmm.
So hard to do.
Yeah, so hard.
Because, I mean, there's a lot of executive functioning required.
Definitely.
In nutrition as well as exercise.
Yeah. Like,
there's a lot of barriers that get in the way of both. Have I prepared enough to go shopping? Do I know what to get when I'm at the grocery store? Mm-hmm. Did I forget something? Then I have to meal prep. Do I have enough time to cook it?
Yeah.
If I'm on medication and there's an appetite suppression, am I wanting to eat any of this? Or do I have readily available snacks, et cetera, et cetera? Mm-hmm. And then I would say the same for exercise.
Yeah.
Do I have enough time to plan and go and motivate myself? Yeah. And am I doing something I like?
Do I have to wash my hair?
Yeah.
When was the last time I washed my hair? Yeah. No, but I do. I go to hot yoga.
Nice.
And that's really helpful because it's a really good workout and also like stress relieving as well.
Okay.
So that's my preferred method of exercise.
Bit of mindfulness in there too. I like it.
Yeah.
Good.
Yeah. Yeah. So yeah. And then when I'm in luteal, it's basically just like just do nothing, like turn my brain off. So
how does that affect romantic relationships for you?
My partner is pretty chill with binge watching The Sopranos with me.
Okay.
So when we need to do that, we do.
Okay.
And he's very active though. Like he goes to the gym every day. So making sure he sticks to his routine is really important to me. Mm. Like I want to bring him down to my hermit level. So I'm like, go to the gym and then like come back and then
watch The Sopranos.
Yeah. And then we can relax together.
Okay.
Yeah. So yeah.
That's good.
Uh-huh.
Does he track your cycle too?
Yes.
He does. Okay.
We share. Well, I track. There's like a partner function on the app that
gotcha.
I use.
What app do you use?
It's called Glow.
Glow?
Okay. Yeah.
Because I often talk about that with my clients who do experience, like, whether it be anything related to PMS or PMDD or even just the differences in how their ADHD is showing up. Because we know now.
Because it does. Yeah.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
We now know that medications are potentially going to be less effective when your estrogen is at its lowest and you're not making natural dopamine. So I always try to, you know, say to clients, can you get your partner or your husband to also track this?
For sure.
So that they know what to expect.
Yeah.
Because that alone can take some of the pressure off.
Uh-huh. For sure. Yeah. I've been like so incredibly blessed to have him. Like he's like the most supportive. Like I don't even need to like say anything, and like he just like knows like what I need now. And it is very confusing for him, of course, like because sometimes I'm fine and then sometimes I'm really not fine. But Nadine, her last monthly session was a partner's information session.
Oh, yeah. Great idea.
Yeah. So we went to that together and he learned a lot, and got some new tools and tricks and yeah, the hardest thing I think, in relationships is the partner taking it personally, because like I said before in the beginning, I get on the mad side of things. Mm-hmm. Like it's more like irritability and like rage rather than like sadness and depression. Well, it changes, but, that's what I tend to lean towards. And so I'll get like super irritable with him, but it's not his fault. And I always say like, please don't take it personally. Like, I'm mad at the world, like not you. And like, he's like, am I in trouble? Like, what did I do wrong? I'm like, you didn't do anything wrong. Like, you're perfect. You're a perfect angel.
Yeah.
And yeah, so it is hard in relationships for sure.
I bet. How do you internalize that? Like, when
I feel like shit.
You do.
Yeah. Like, I feel so guilty. And I said that actually during the partner's information session, because I was so happy to see there were so many like male partners there learning about it, because their wives, their girlfriends, their friends had it. And I said at the end, like, from me and like all PMDDers, like, we're sorry. Like, we're sorry sometimes we treat you like garbage. Like, and like, it, the guilt like eats me alive sometimes. But
yeah, that can't feel good to have to
to
feel, because it's not, it's also not your fault.
Yeah, no,
you're not choosing this.
Yeah, I know. Yeah, and we talked about that a bit too. Like, it's not a choice.
No.
It just happens, and that's just something that somebody who's a partner of a PMDDer like needs to. Like, no.
Like, yeah. I mean, I would say that goes for ADHD as
for
well.
For sure. Like, yeah.
I mean, I hear that all the time. I feel so much shame, or I feel so much guilt about all of these things that I'm not doing or can't do or have forgotten. Or and there's often a lot of assumptions that people make about ADHDers.
Yeah.
That they don't care. That they're, you know. That
lazy.
They're lazy, that they're all of these things. And it's like, it's all, that's also not their fault.
Yeah.
Like, these things are explanations as to what is happening.
Totally. Yeah.
But I can't imagine that it does change the like relationship dynamic.
Yeah. Yeah. So just like lots of communication and information and knowledge, like the more he learns about it, the more he understands and
Okay.
Yeah.
Good.
Mm-hmm.
So what, actually, this is a good segue question when you're saying, I feel a lot of guilt.
Mm-hmm.
How do you stay kind to yourself through it all? How can we change that to a bit of a more self-compassionate lens?
I think, like, for me personally, like, I'm very proud of who I am and what I'm capable of doing. So, I don't know. I guess I just, like, try to focus on the positive things about myself. Like, yeah, I'm a total asshole sometimes, but that also makes me, like, the most empathetic person. Like, I understand people and I care about people, and I take care of people better because of this. So yeah.
Okay. I like that.
Yeah. And like, just thinking of like how far I've come, like, in like trying to kill myself multiple times and like going to treatment and like advocating for myself for the medications and the diagnosis, and then like slowly climbing my way up the ladder to get to where I am today, and all my accomplishments. Like, I have an awesome job. I'm finishing school. I'm going to start a new career. Like, it's, I think you just have to focus on the positive sometimes and like not, like not what's the word? Not like minimize your mm-hmm. your accomplishments, like maximize those, like mm-hmm. be proud of yourself. Mm-hmm. And I know that's hard for a lot of people, but that's what works for me.
I mean, it's an important reframe because yeah. you do have to go, okay, well, what are the things that what am I good at? What am I proud of? Mm-hmm. How can I make sure that I'm aligning with those values
yeah.
rather than focusing on when things aren't good?
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Yeah. And it's not like that all the time. Like yeah. when I'm in Ludio, like I'm not proud of myself or anything. Aww. Like, but then when I'm, when I can reflect on it and think clearly about it and positively about yeah. it, then I'm like, yeah, that's.
And so in therapy, what types of modalities would you say have been helpful?
DBT.
DBT.
Yeah.
Okay. That's... So that's dialectical behavioral therapy mm-hmm. for anyone wanting to know the full
yeah.
words.
So just basically like a lot of emotional regulation yeah. stuff and yeah.
Distress tolerance.
Yeah. I learned a lot about that and like recognizing the signs of, I love the window of tolerance thing, because that is a huge in PMDD and ADHD mm-hmm. is like if I'm in Ludio, like my window shuts fast.
Yeah.
Yeah. Like,
and then are you in hyper arousal or hypo? You're in hypo.
Okay. I go hypo.
Okay.
Yeah. Yeah. So And it's interesting because like you would think that hypo, you would go into more like a like depressive state, where I stay on, like I said, I stay on like the mad side of things. So it's just like internal rage, mm-hmm. like, and you'd think I might be up here in hyper arousal, like yelling and throwing stuff, but
mm-hmm.
I've never been like an outwardly like loud or aggressive person or anything
it's
like that.
So it's just like in here.
Yeah. And it's just like inside mm. and like, I want to yeah. like smash walls and like scream and stuff. Yeah. But like, I never do. I never have. So yeah, it's just like inside me.
Would that be helpful for you to do something cathartic? Like not break windows or smash walls, but like do something like go to a rage room
or a rage room boxing
or something.
I did kickboxing for a while.
Yeah.
I liked that.
Yeah.
Yeah. Maybe.
Okay.
But it's really only when I'm like...
When you're in that phase.
When I'm mad yeah. that I want to break stuff.
Yeah, that makes sense.
So, yeah.
Okay. Mm-hmm. So, what should people look out for if they wonder if they have both? Like, both ADHD and PMDD, those are, like, intersecting.
Yeah. Well, if you're a menstruator mm-hmm. and you have ADHD... It's very likely you got PMDD too. Mm. Like it's the link between PMDD and ADHD is huge.
Mm-hmm.
I forget the exact numbers right now.
Yeah, I didn't look up that statistic about the comorbidity, but
it's big.
I feel like I've probably got that somewhere in my resources because I know that it is pretty high.
Yeah, it's big. And so what to look out for? Basically just the fluctuation of how you're feeling before your menstrual cycle. Track your cycles mm-hmm. for sure. And then I have the Her Mood Mentor on Instagram is really amazing. She provides free resources as well as paid resources. But she has a free period symptom and cycle tracker that I used for the first bit when I was learning about PMDD. And yeah, it's really just recognizing the signs.
Okay.
So, and then when you go to your doctor, you want to make sure that you have that proof.
Okay.
Because some doctors still.
I know.
Yeah.
You have to try to prepare yourself as much as possible and go, okay, this is what I'm seeing. This is how mm-hmm. I can align this with research or data and try to outline that as much as possible.
Yeah.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
The Mood Mentor.
Her mood mentor.
Okay. Yeah. I think I'm going to have to follow her. I don't think I've ever heard of her.
Yeah.
Okay. What would you say to someone struggling with PMDD or both ADHD and PMDD?
Oh my God. That's what I would say. Mm, oh my God.
Oh my God.
What would I say? Just, I don't know. It's freaking hard, man. Yeah. And whatever you're doing, whether it's just like surviving day to day, that's fucking, that's awesome.
Yeah.
That like you're still here and you're just living life mm-hmm. with like the very short end of the stick. Mm-hmm. Like a big thing with PMDD is suicidal ideation. Yeah. And yeah, it's just amazing to see people thriving with it and coping. And yeah, I don't even know what I would say.
I mean, I think that was pretty good. That was pretty like from the heart.
I feel sorry for you and me. We're in it together.
We're in it together.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah. And people,
we love you. Yeah,
we love you. Yeah. And find people who understand you.
Yeah.
Find people you can talk to about it, because it's so isolating and so lonely when you're trying to, you know, like you talk to your girlfriends and and like the ones who might not be as knowledgeable, and they're like, oh my God, like I totally get you, girl. Like my PMS was so bad this month. And it's like, did you want to kill yourself? Like you don't get it. Mm-hmm. And
I actually hear that pretty frequently from people where they will go to their friends and say like, this is what I'm struggling with. And they'll be like, yeah, I get it.
Yeah.
I get it. And it's like, but do you?
Yeah.
And maybe you don't always.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, you might get some of it.
Totally.
But living with it every 14 days, just debilitating.
Yeah.
Yeah, you probably don't get it. Mm-hmm. I hope you don't get it.
Mm-hmm.
So, mm-hmm. yeah. So find your people.
Yeah, maybe people need to be a bit more compassionate too. That that doesn't always have to be the response.
For
I get
sure.
it. You can kind of change that too. Yeah. I don't totally get it, but I'm here for you.
Yeah. Or like, what can I do to help?
What can I do? Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay.
Something like that. Yeah.
Do you have any friends with PMDD?
I do.
You do?
Yeah.
Okay.
Thankfully, yeah.
Is that helpful?
It is.
Yeah.
Yeah. Because I can just throw a quick text.
Yeah.
Just be like, I know, dude.
Yeah.
We'll just be like sobbing, texting each other over nothing.
We're in it together.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's really nice. Yeah.
Okay. So what is one myth or misconception you want to bust?
Oh, I think what I said at the beginning that, actually there's a lot more now that's coming to me. Hmm. Well, first the one that it's like irregular hormonal changes. Mm-hmm. It's not, it's
okay. like, they're not irregular.
No, it's a brain thing. It's a real disorder.
Yep.
It's not just women are bitchy and moody.
Mm-hmm.
So that one.
Okay.
I guess backpacking off of that is that just the difference between regular PMS and PMDD.
Mm-hmm.
Like it's a range of severity and PMDD is like hell. Mm-hmm. It's not just PMS. Mm-hmm. Like it's really horrible and hard to live with, and I really don't like it when people just brush it off as like PMS symptoms.
Yeah, I can imagine that really minimizes it.
It's real piss off.
Yeah, I bet.
And so yeah, just that, like, just basically to sum that up, just that it's real.
Yeah.
Like, and a lot of people are suffering from it, and just that, I guess.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay. Those are good ones.
Mm.
My last question, what advice would you give your younger self pre-diagnosis?
Oh my God. I guess do your research.
Mm-hmm.
Because you're going to have to advocate for yourself.
Okay.
I wish I didn't have to find that out the hard way.
Yeah.
But yeah, and that like, look at me now, girl. Like, we did it. Like, I used to, every birthday, or like, if I get like a gray hair or something, I like get so emotional, because back when I was like 19, 20, 21, I didn't think I'd make it this far in life. Like, I thought that I would be dead by now, that I would have, like, killed myself. But, yeah, so I would probably just tell her, like, just hold on a little bit longer because I'm going to figure this out for you. Wow. And we're going to make it.
Oof.
Like, yeah.
That's a good one.
Yeah.
Oh, that, I feel like that's a really, really powerful piece of advice. Like, and I think that that's actually really beautiful that when you notice, like, when birthdays happen or signs of aging, that it's almost like, wow, I did this.
Yeah, I'm proud of myself.
Good for you.
Yeah.
You should be.
Thanks.
You should be.
Yeah.
I bet your younger self is, I mean, your younger self is in there somewhere going.
Yeah, she'd be flabbergasted.
Yes. Yes, girl.
Yeah.
We did it.
Yeah.
We did it.
She would be proud too.
Okay. So any final thoughts? Anything I've missed?
Not really.
Anything you want anyone to know that's listening?
No, this was fun.
Okay.
Yeah.
Yay.
Yeah, just if you... I said this already, but, like, once you hear about PMDD and, like, what it's like and the symptoms, like, if you... Like, you would recognize it in yourself. Mm-hmm. So if any of this resonated with anybody, then... Mm-hmm. Yeah, start tracking your cycles and get the help that you need because it sucks dealing with it with help. Mm-hmm. And so it really sucks dealing with it without help.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So find the right kind of support and whatever that looks like, whether that's medication, a therapist, even like social media information from verified sources.
Yeah.
Make sure you try to get some support as best you can because it's very important. And we want to make sure that we are protecting as many menstruators as possible. Yeah.
Hit us up.
Yeah.
Book an appointment with Kaylee.
I'm actually not currently taking clients.
No, she's... Yeah.
Okay. Thank you so much for coming on.
Yeah,
we appreciate you.
It was fun, yeah.
Okay. Good job.
Yeah.
Thanks for tuning in to ADHD Brief. If you enjoyed this episode, please consider subscribing or sharing it with someone who might relate. For more information on resources from today's episode, check out the show notes on your listening platform or feel free to contact us directly. The views and opinions shared by my guests are their own and may not always reflect mine. At ADHD Brief, we value open conversations and differing perspectives. I encourage listeners to approach each episode with kindness and curiosity. Even when something comes from a place of stigma or misunderstanding, offering grace and compassion creates more room for growth than criticism ever could. Thanks for tuning in.